Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good day, whatever time of day it is, or time of the week it is. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. It's a pleasure, delight, and a joy of my heart to be here with you again for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values are potential BS. You hear me say that week in and week out. It never grows old for me. It's a mantra. It's a motto. It's a vision. It's a destiny. It's a reach that I am carrying in my mind and my heart. And I intend to carry it all the way through the rest of my life. Love is the highest value. In fact, it's the only value that makes any other value worth having in your life. Love alone is credible. Love makes life beautiful. Love makes life sing. So I call you here each week. It's as if I convene a classroom of listeners far and wide. I am calling this classroom to order. I am your instructor, Professor Bishop Randy Dean. I'm not a doctor. Well, maybe someday. I don't know. But I am here as your professor and teacher. It is my privilege and also my responsibility to give you a curriculum, a solid base of understanding, a solid reach and grasp for the subject of love. It is the highest subject of all subjects. There are no higher pursuits for education or knowledge that supersede love. So as we reach for love, as we are convening this classroom of love, this school of love, I urge you to give me as much attention as you can possibly give me. I urge you to sit up straight in your desks and in your chairs and your, well, maybe not your recliners, because by very nature of the name of that chair, it's a recliner. So go ahead and just get comfortable is my point. And take notes if you can. Get somebody on the phone and say, hey, let's join in the school of love. I want you to hear this crazy guy, this No BS Bishop Randy Dean, because he is teaching a class on love, and it's the highest pursuit of understanding of anything that we could possibly reach for. Today, I want to walk through some 8 steps and principles of the subject of love. In fact, I may not even finish it today, so I'll have to carry it forward next week on the next episode of this radio broadcast. There is a curriculum of love that I am convinced that needs to be taken step by careful step to layer into our grasp, to layer into our full understanding of how love works. You see, I think we've possibly made the mistake of thinking that love is just going to come naturally to all of us, that somehow it's just without any kind of nurture, without any sort of education, pursuit, or building in it, that it'll take care of itself. And while there is some truth to that, that's not the entire truth. There's maybe that's a 20% category of it. In fact, I do know that latent inside the human condition is love, because we're made in the image of God, and God is love. So the image is there. The image of God, the image of love, it really is inherent to us. But at that point, it is awaiting our successful development. It's awaiting our educational pursuit. It's awaiting our purposed ideas, our purposed application to it. See, I can be a gifted musician, born that way. I can have musical talent in my, just built into my DNA and the way I think as a child. But then at some point, I've got to develop that. I've got to practice. I've got to pursue how to make music out of the music that is inside of me. I don't doubt but what people have natural inclinations. But what I do doubt is that those inclinations can just take care of themselves. They need attention, like anything in our life. So what I want you to do today is give me your ear as I try to walk through these 8 steps toward the development of love. 8 steps toward the development of love, recognizing that as we take each one of these steps, they build upon the other. In other words, you can't go from one step all the way to the 8th step without recognizing that there are other steps in between 1 and 8 to put yourself into climbing a ladder. I've used that illustration here before, that just because I'm on the first rung of a ladder doesn't mean I can reach the rooftop. And you get the point, right? That if I take step 1, I'm just awaiting step 2. Step 2 awaits step 3. And knowing that we can develop 8 steps in the development of our grasp and our practice of love. 8 steps in the development and the practice of our love. First of all, is what I just discussed somewhat here, that love is inherent to us. It is, number one, love is a part of our image. It is built into the human DNA. It is our human existence. We were born in love because mom and dad made love and they created a baby, for instance. Then if you take it to the spiritual side of that, God is love, and then God created us out of love, that it was for love that we were created, that there is inherent to the human condition love as a possibility, as I said to start with, it is the image of God in us. The image of God is awaiting our discovery. It's awaiting our purposed determination. The image of God is awaiting our view. So you can look in the mirror and say, hey, there's the image of God in me. And that should inspire us. I think that everyone has latent talents. Let's take it back to that point. Everyone has some latent talents. What I do naturally, what I do as a preacher, teacher, father, may not be what you do as a mom, as a dad, or a cement worker, a carpenter, whoever you are, and whatever talents and skills you have that are built into you. We're all in that image of God, expressing the image of God in the multiple faceted ways that we are all each given. However, in the image of God, at the very baseline of it, at the foundation level of the image of God, is love. It is inherent to us. Recognize that no matter how much other negativity or pain has come into your life, love is always possible. If there's one drum I beat routinely, love is possible for every human being, no matter the level of education, no matter your age in life, no matter your experiences, good or bad, love is always inherent. So in the school of love, remember, this is inherent to you. You're not the one exception out of the billions of humans who've existed on Earth. You are not. We are each one given the seeds, the foundations, the planting of God's love in us. It's there waiting our discovery. And see, I think even that is as simple as a child being born, recognizing the arms and the love of mom. As soon as that baby born, and then you know, the doctor would lay the child on mama's breast, upon mama's shoulder. You know, that's a magic moment, isn't it? It's an incredible, supernatural, divine connection is right there. That baby needs mama's touch, mama's breath, even mama's laughter or tears. That baby is hearing something that baby knows. This is love. So when we can recognize that most basic of all expressions of love, I think we need to all know that we are here carrying inherently, number one, inherently, we're carrying the image of God in love. The second level of our development of the purposes of love in our life is to take it from that inherent moment to recognizing that in that inherent moment, there are early discoveries. The early discoveries of love that, I don't know how to say this any other way except to say the early discoveries can happen any time in your life. I'm tempted to say that, you know, the early discovery of a child, finding the love of a mom, a dad, an uncle, an auntie, a grandfather, a grandmother, those early discoveries are necessary and beautiful. But, you know, everybody, I think, is going to have some early experiences with love, some early moments of awakening, early awareness, an early revelation of it. I really do believe that everybody is entitled to some early discoveries of love. I guess I should explain that. As a child, you know, the little girl that sees the little boy in second grade class across the room, and she says, "Oh my gosh, he's handsome. He's such a strong little man." Or that little boy that looks across the room and he sees that little girl and he recognizes, "Oh my goodness, she's gorgeous. She is just waiting to discover me." That's what I mean by early. It's, you know, or I put it another way. I remember early as a young lad seeing a teacher that I just adored. And of course, I didn't know what it was about that teacher that made my heart flutter. I recognize now it was love. It was love for this adult who had an expertise or a genius at taking care of kids. You know, every child, I think, has some experience with this early discovery that a child sees a policeman or a firefighter, you know, some of those heroic features, those heroic characters, and love springs up and they say, you know, what do you want to do when you grow up? Oh, I'm going to be a policeman. Oh, I'm going to be a fireman. Oh, I'm going to be an ambulance first responder. You know, that's what I mean by that. They see that early experience of a hero and he or she says of them, "Oh, I'm going to be that." So that's the most elementary aspect of early that I mean here. But I want to also add to it that no matter how old you are, no matter what age you have come to in this life, I'm convinced that each one of us can still have early revelations of love. Early, like a surprise love. The surprise of a caretaker, somebody, maybe you called customer service, anticipating the worst. Maybe you called I'm trying to think of an extreme. Maybe I shouldn't. So maybe you just called customer service and you got a very helpful, very kind, very attentive customer service agent who took your case on as if it was the only case in the world, and suddenly they were just taken good care of you, and you discovered in them there was a love for their job, and there was a love for you that was refreshing, and it was, quite frankly, a revelation. You came to a revelation of love at a level perhaps you had no expectation of there. That's what I mean by that. Everybody, I think, listening to me has had some experience like that, where we are, you know, in our course of life, and life can go on a bit routinely for a while to the point where we're just kind of on autopilot, right? That we're simply doing our jobs, simply doing our responsibilities, our callings, and we're moving along through life at the speed of normal. There you go. It's not fast. It's not slow. It's just normal. And suddenly, somebody appears in the most normal of means, with a kind face, a kind word, a goodness about them that you discovered had a revelation of love. I believe, based on that, that each one of us should pay attention to being that person. So we have the inherent image of God in love, number one, in our development in the curriculum of the school of love. Number two, we each one have early revelations of it. Those early revelations really do stick with us. And then in that, remember, in your early revelation, and I'll take this to number three so I can separate it out, kind of tease it out a bit here, that in the third part of what I'm talking about in the development of the school of love, in an early revelation from others, we can develop in ourselves a purpose, a practice of being the carriers of an early revelation. So to be a carrier means I am going to enter in the normal course of life to be that one person that somebody didn't expect. You know, you didn't expect me to be kind at the grocery store when I let you in front of me at the grocery store line. That's a simple part of this. to give somebody that revelation, that early revelation. I'm going to be one of the early carriers. I'm going to be one of those people that'll step into the usual with the unusual. I'm going to be that person that will surprise you with kindness that really is love. I'm going to be somebody with the destiny, the hope, the practice of my life, to be one of those people that's going to give others the expectation that love can be all brand new, no matter what your age. I've had a few experiences in life where, as I said earlier, calling customer service, and I get somebody that's exceptionally helpful. And in every one of those moments, I am reminded I want to be that person for the next person I run into. So as I carry the image of God, number one, I'm developing in this reach in the curriculum of the School of Love. Number two, that we each one have early revelations of love, early discoveries as a child and even as an adult. And number three, we each one are now being given an opportunity to be the carrier of an early revelation of love to others, to answer the phone, if you will. There you go. Here's another part of it. Just to, you know, somebody, you're not customer service, but somebody's calling and you answer the phone with cheer. You answer the phone with expectation. You answer the phone and say, "Good morning, this is Randy Dean. How can I help you?" To be that kind of person. In fact, I have learned with dealing with people that, especially when I'm dealing with the person at the desk at a customer service place or an office or a medical facility, that person at the desk is in a very routine job, and their job can get pretty challenging at times, especially in a pandemic. And what they need to know is that there's somebody going to come along with a smile and a cheerful heart. And I want to be one of the carriers of an early revelation of love for them. I want them to know that there are people they're serving out here who are still lovers. And we're still loving life and we're still loving people. And we can be as cheerful as we decide to be, or we can be as crabby as we decide to be as well. So that's the first three steps in the development of love in our life. And then tease this out. This is what I'm after here. I can see by my time here, I'm going to have to split this up into two different broadcasts. So let me just hit the first three, and I'll try to hit four here before we close. In this development of the curriculum of love, remember you're created in the image of God, and God is love. The image of love is present in you. Second of all, remember that there's always some early revelation of love that stays with us, and it not only comes to us as a child, but it also comes to us as adults, that we run into somebody who was genuinely loving, and it springs our heart to life. And then number three, then we each one can develop the purpose, the practice, purpose and practice of being a carrier of that early revelation of love. Now, number four, this is where it turns the corner a bit. And I've talked about this in other ways, like our love deficits. But right at this moment, I want to talk to you about the serious wounds to our love, where love has been wounded. I think I'm going to just spend the rest of this broadcast talking about love wounded, because it does get wounded. It does get attacked. It does have moments of deep injury or disappointment. All of us have been there. We have all. Again, going back to early discoveries, if that young child that had this puppy love for someone else and then they broke your heart, you know, that hurts. Let's just not even play around. It hurts. You know, that kid may not understand all the dynamics of what just happened, but that kid hurts. I remember early in my life, I had a heartbreak I may have been like in sixth grade, and it just devastated me, you know. And I wanted to hide it. I wanted to pretend, no, that didn't hurt, you know, because I'm a boy and boys can't be hurt. Well, my mom could tell, and she asked me what was wrong. And I said, so-and-so broke my heart. And she said, well, you should pray about it. And I laughed at her. I really did. I laughed. I said, God doesn't care about that. And she said something that was really powerful. She said, God cares about everything in your life. And if you care about it, he cares about it. So, you know, and, you know, as a sixth grader, maybe seventh, I don't remember exactly, that registered. And it became a grasp, it became a handle for me going through life to manage the wounds of my love. You know, again, this is a turning point in the discovery of love. This is that corner we all have to manage well if we're going to continue to rise upward in the school of love. To rise upward, to be alive to love, we've got to know how to manage wounded love. Disappointments hang out there like a early morning fog that doesn't want to go away. Disappointments in love are particularly striking and stinging. Why? Because love is inherent to us. Love, as I said at the very first part of this, we are each created in the image of God. We're not created in the image of disappointments. Disappointments come for sure, but the first image we carry in us is love. And out of that, when love is struck, when love is beaten, when love is kicked to the curb, when love is given the worst possible treatment, now we're at a crossroads, aren't we? Now we're in a place where we're going to have to discover a whole new set of laws and rules and purposes if we're ever going to continue in this growing pursuit of love. Wounded love looks like this. Wounded love can be just as simple as being unappreciated at a job that you carry with great care. If you do your job, I mean, we're just talking the most simple of jobs. Maybe you are a service person and your job is to clean a building. Maybe you're just the most basic of all employees in any given company. You're not at the top of the ladder at all, but you've just entered that company as a day-to-day worker. Maybe you're on an assembly line. Maybe you're a maintenance crew. Maybe your job is simply pushing a broom. And you love what you do, but then suddenly, in the middle of your love, watch this now, because I know everybody at some levels had this experience. In the middle of doing what you love in the most simple of ways, there are critics. There are those who look at your work and they laugh, or they criticize, or they badger you. Here's the worst part, or the worst thing that could happen at that level, or they ride you constantly without any remorse, without relenting at all. And that which you love suddenly becomes something that you don't love anymore. That's what I'm talking about, wounded love. That is the heaviest burden, I think, of all to carry when love is wounded. Now, I could take it to another extreme, and this is a very far-reaching extreme, but if your loved one, you know, whether that's a spouse or a sibling or a child or a parent, somebody of deep connection to you passes away, or as Native Americans like to say, they walked on and they had to walk away into that eternal sunset, and you were left on this side of that sun, and your love is wounded. You're at a crossroads, aren't you? You're in a moment of discovery of what now? Where do I go? So that's the extremes in this wounded love discussion here, and I'm going to close today with just some as much empathy and compassion as I can pass along to any of you listening to me right now. I want you to recognize that if your love's been wounded, you are a hero. You are now in the category of being heroic. In the heroism of wounded love, if you will find in yourself the capacity of staying steady, to know that what you love, who you love, where you love is worthwhile because you loved them or that. Because you loved, you are a hero. Never mind the wounds for a moment, but for one moment, assure yourself, remind yourself, heroism in this one and only life looks like being a lover. And I just want to start and just wrap this up, this today's broadcast, by telling you thank you. Thank you for taking the risk of loving like that. Thank you for expending the image of God in your life toward the purpose of love. This world needs a whole lot more just like you, loving their jobs, loving their family, loving their projects, and especially, and if not most exclusively, loving other human beings. So we'll pick up the rest of this next week on this episode, on that episode of the No BS Bishop, on the 8 purposes and the 8 reaches upward in the development of the school of love. I want to close today with what I think will help you in what I just discussed, and that is, you know, when you're wounded, sometimes your breathing gets a little shallow. So would you do it with me? Just breathe deep. Take in a deep breath right now. Come on. Take a deep breath. Pull it all the way to the bottom of your lungs and inhale. Hold it down there and exhale. Do it again, just for the sake of expanding your lung, expressing your healthy life. Go ahead. Breathe in. Breathe deep. Hold and exhale. Do that as an exercise to remind yourself. Slow down. If your love's been wounded, slow down. Take it easy on yourself. Don't be so hard or harsh. You deserve the moment of just breathing with a good rhythmic purpose to take care of you. You know, it is so vital. Now, the second exercise that I close every episode with is, I think, especially pertinent to this love that has been wounded lesson in the curriculum of love. And that is, who have been wounded in love need to, just out of those wounds, even in the bruise of the moment, be brave enough to say, I will love again. Find someone right now. Find someone nearby that you can say this with sincerity to. Look them in the eye and say the 3 words that every human being resonates to like the greatest symphony ever written. And that are these 3 words. I love you. Yes, I do. I love you. It gets awkward, right, when you're looking somebody in the eye. You know why? Because it slows us down away from the speedy brush-by, the drive-by, I love you, and it causes us to stop, put the car in park, open the door, take somebody by the shoulders and say, hey, you, I love you. Well, thanks for being here today on this episode of the No BS Bishop. We're in an 8 steps in the development of the School of Love, the curriculum in the School of Love, and this we just covered the first 4. I was going to be so smart and brave to do all 8 today, but I can't do it. I got carried away, as we all do when we're talking about the most important and powerful subject of human existence, and that is, we are alive to love. All lesser values are just potential BS. Now go out there and do something beautiful because, oh baby, ugly has been done to death. Let us just be dispensed with the ugliness of life and let us be completely wrapped up in the beauty of life as it is expressed in love. Thanks for being here today. Join us again next week for the second half of this discussion of the curriculum in the School of Love.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.